How long have entrepreneurs been around? We tend to think of them as a feature of modern capitalism, typified by startup CEOs and captains of industry. But by some definitions, entrepreneurship is a practice that goes back thousands of years. By studying its history, Derek Leto argues that we can improve our own economy, making it more innovative and equitable. Derek is a professor at the Keller Center for Innovation and Engineering Education at Princeton University and the author of several books and more than 100 articles on innovation, entrepreneurship, and leadership. He joins us now to share five big ideas from his latest book.
Hi, I'm Derek Leto, author of the new book, The Entrepreneurs, The Relentless Quest for Value. I am an entrepreneur myself and a Princeton University professor who teaches entrepreneurship. In my third book on entrepreneurs, I shine the light on people who have shaped our planet since ancient times. Before I share five insights from my book, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wondered what the world would be like if entrepreneurs didn't exist? The answer leads to insight number one. Entrepreneurs are the world's greatest change agents. They have a bigger influence on our lives than governments, religions, or big business. If entrepreneurs didn't exist, we would live in a world without computers, smartphones, and streaming video. A world without planes, trains, and automobiles. It would be a world without electricity, medical devices, and even most clothing. But it would also be a world without slavery, inequity, and inequality. It would be a world without most cancers, diabetes, and workplace injuries. And it would be a world without pollution, deforestation, and climate change. Look around. Try to find things in your world not pioneered or made by an entrepreneur. You'll be hard-pressed to do that. And that is an amazing realization. The single biggest force of change in the world is something we did not recognize. And we have not understood that till now. I came to understand this by taking a deep dive into the history of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs impact our lives in far more ways than we realize, and in ways that make our lives far better, and unfortunately, far worse. Insight number two. Entrepreneurs have immense impact because they behave as if they were a swarm. It's this collective behavior that makes such a huge impact. It's not a few lucky entrepreneurs heroically acting alone. Consider Josiah Wedgwood, whom I profile in The Entrepreneurs. He was as famous and successful in his time as Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are today, or any other entrepreneur has ever been. We still recognize him as a major product design innovator more than 200 years after his death. That's not all. He also pioneered the modern shopping experience. Steve Jobs copied his store designs. Wedgwood built the first factory with inline production. He also created the first brand, known as the Queenswear. But he was not a lone innovative savant, as myth might have you think. He was born to a family of potters in an ancient town of potters. He worked for others before starting his own enterprise. His many innovations were incremental. Most did not work. His success was more a reflection of being the most curious and hardworking potter than any aha moment. Even more important, he copied others. He used versions of glazes that he saw sold well for his competitors. Of course, then other potters copied his version of the glaze. Whether it's Wedgwood, or modern-day entrepreneurs such as Jeff Bezos or Oprah, innovations in a swarm are the result of entrepreneurs constantly watching one another. They copy what caused someone else to be successful, but they then personalize what they copy, maybe something about how it was delivered, like Bezos, or how it was made, like Wedgwood, or some other facet of value creation, like Oprah. The swarm sees what works well due to that personalization, and that then becomes what gets copied, leading to even more improvements. In this way, swarms of entrepreneurs produce innovations that constantly and rapidly expand in scale. Ultimately, these innovations make us want to change our lives to adopt them. Insight number three, almost all entrepreneurial innovation leads to unintended consequences. The danger is that these unintended consequences are often unacknowledged, and yet they can threaten the world's existence. In my book, I profiled James Drax. He was one of the original 50 people who colonized Barbados when it was still uninhabited. He became the world's most successful sugar baron through his ability to scale up sugar production. He created unimaginable wealth for his time in the mid-1600s, but he also wreaked unimaginable damage. He didn't buy slaves two or four at a time like everyone else in the world back then. He bought entire boatloads. Copying what he did caused the transatlantic slave trade to explode. His methods of organizing labor and controlling production processes are still the basis for how we supervise and control today. We're oblivious to where they came from and to their link to controlling slaves. Besides having the world's highest concentration of slaves, Barbados became deforested. It became more expensive to live on Barbados than in London. Even if you weren't a slave, you were destitute there, unless you were a sugar baron or owned a business. Entrepreneurs, by their very nature, leave a trail of unintended consequences as they focus on keeping up with others in their swarm. These unintended consequences accumulate, and it's essential that we realize that. Insight number four. Governments and rulers have always been ineffective at controlling entrepreneurs and the unintended consequences of their innovation. Today, legislators around the world grapple with the unintended consequences caused by the entrepreneurial social media swarm. They debate laws to stem the loss of privacy, the spread of fake news, as well as online bullying, but nowhere do we see very effective legislation. Entrepreneurial history tells us not to expect any legislation until an angry population threatens a politician's term or a ruler's tenure. Then they enact rules long on bureaucracy and short on impact. Cornelius Vanderbilt summed up the relationship of entrepreneurs with governments when he was called to testify in front of a committee of legislators. Vanderbilt had just forced dozens of women and children out of their train carriages to cross an icy bridge in a blizzard to show another entrepreneur that he was more powerful. He said, "The law, in my view, goes too slow for me when I have the remedy in my own hands." The legislators did nothing. Governments enact rules, but there have always been entrepreneurs who get around them or just ignore them. Most commercial laws have been written to contain entrepreneurial overreach. Even in Hammurabi's Code, history's first documented set of laws, 1/4 pertain to entrepreneurs. It's no different under autocrats, even ruthless ones. Rulers can take control over business if an entrepreneur seems threatening. But once started, swarms cannot be extinguished, even under the threat of arrest or death. Every weekend, thousands of North Korean entrepreneurs offer forbidden products in open-air pop-up markets. Yet, they're not arrested. We have come to accept both the good and bad of what entrepreneurs do to us without thinking. We pay for the entrepreneurial innovations that cause many of the world's problems. Because governments do not understand how to prevent entrepreneurial unintended consequences and rule breaking, we're paying both higher taxes and hidden costs. Homeowners' and renters' insurance costs have soared because insurance companies have had huge payouts for severe flooding aggravated by hydrocarbon emissions. We pay for the cost of type 2 diabetes and for people dying from lung cancer with higher health insurance costs and taxes. We pay taxes to clean up beaches of plastics and to deal with the addicted. We pay to house families that have lost their homes because they defaulted on a loan. These hidden costs are accelerated as governments have not protected us from the accumulating unintended consequences of entrepreneurial innovation. Insight number 5. We can take steps to lessen the harm and benefit even more from entrepreneurial innovation. Imagine a world where we knew what to expect from entrepreneurs. Wouldn't we be savvier about the true benefits of entrepreneurial innovation? Wouldn't we be wary of the hidden social taxes that we were forced to pay? It's very possible to create such a world. A little education would go a long way in helping us understand how much we're being directed by entrepreneurs. For example, I recommend short teaching modules about how entrepreneurship shapes our world and our lives, delivered in about 4th and 11th grade. That would help us, from a young age, better decide which products to buy and which have hidden costs and risks associated with them. Of course, the first step is to educate the educators on the impact of entrepreneurship on our daily lives. Looking through the history of entrepreneurship, it becomes clear that entrepreneurs, big and small, aspire to be recognized for their achievements, even more than they aspire to increase profits. And we should recognize them, even more than we do today, because we now understand how much they contribute to our enjoyment and productivity. I propose we create a National Academy of Entrepreneurs. Membership would have a similar prestige to becoming a member of our National Academy of Sciences. Entrepreneurs would act in ways likely to get them elected as members. Similarly, prestigious institutions could be enacted at a city and state level. A little transparency would help us as adults stay aware of potential consequences. We could then be better supporters of entrepreneurs who make the world a better place. To be recognized for their contributions, entrepreneurs should publicly post their own analysis of the potential adverse consequences of their products and services. They already do so privately if they have investors. Dishonest entrepreneurs would provoke consumer backlashes. Finally, we should expect entrepreneurs to pay the costs that the government and public bear to lessen the unintended consequences of their actions. We, as a world, cannot live without entrepreneurs. But we can choose to live in a better world because of our entrepreneurs. If we understand how they work and understand the impact they have, reading this book will show you how we can easily work together to make a big difference and benefit even more from the entrepreneurs of the world. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Derek. That was Derek Lido with 5 Big Ideas from The Entrepreneurs, The Relentless Quest for Value. For a glimpse at where entrepreneurship is heading, listen to our book by 4, The Rise of the Rest, How Entrepreneurs in Surprising Places are Building the New American Dream by Steve Case. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.